Good evening and welcome. I'm Kelly Richards, CEO of the All Access Group and the host of All Access Radio. As a highly sought-after consultant, super connector, trusted advisor, celebrity wrangler, and thought leader, I connect innovators and influencers from Silicon Valley to Hollywood to Madison Avenue. As a trusted advisor, I transform the quality of people's lives. I'm also the author of the best-selling ebook, The Magic and Moxie of Apple, An Insider's View. Tonight's guest on the show is Ann Wilson. Ann is a legendary rock and roll musician, singer, and songwriter, regarded as one of the best female vocalists in rock music history, and listed as one of the top heavy metal vocalists of all time by Hit Parader. Along with her sister Nancy, the Wilson sisters first showed the world that women can rock when their band Heart stormed the charts in the 70s with such hits as Crazy on You, Magic Man, Barracuda, and Straight On. Heart continued topping the charts through the 80s and 90s with huge hits like These Dreams, Alone, and What About Love. And along the way, they sold more than 35 million albums, sold out arenas, and found their way into the soundtrack of American life through radio, motion pictures, television, and associations with brand sponsors. Today, songs made famous by Heart are heard in every aspect of contemporary culture. Their first ever memoir, Kicking and Dreaming, a story of heart, soul, and rock and roll, released in September of 2012, spent several weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, and 2012 also saw the release of Strange Euphoria, which was a definitive career-spanning box set. The Wilson sisters were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2013, the same year that earned them a Lifetime Achievement Award and a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Welcome to the show, Ann.
Hi, how are you?
I am great. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
On a personal note, before we dive into the questions and the discussion here, truly, I'm a former A&R exec, and you are hands down my favorite female singer of all time.
Thank you.
You know, right up there with, you know, the two of you would be neck and neck, in my opinion, honestly, would be Karen Carpenter, but you're still with us.
Wow.
This
season. Yeah, well, thank you.
Your voice is unparalleled.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. And I wanted to remind you as we get started, we met several years ago when you did the Walk Down Abbey Road tour with Todd Rundgren and John Entwistle and Dave.
All right. Yeah, that was John Entwistle's final performance thing.
It was indeed. And as I mentioned to you kind of before we get started, Todd and I were longtime collaborators. 20 years ago, we came out with the first artist direct-to-fan subscription service and a bunch of other digital firsts that Todd was famous for. So I just saw him last week when he was performing in San Francisco, mentioned I'd be speaking with you. And I was curious why you chose to do that particular tour and how that experience was for you as the only female in that lineup.
Oh, yeah, two good questions. I chose to do it because at that particular time, Nancy was not wanting to be working with Heart. She was wanting to be scoring movies for her then-husband, Cameron Crowe.
Right.
And so Heart was taking a hiatus. And, you know, I wanted to keep on performing. I'm just a ham bone, I guess. I need to be out there. I like to get out there and sing and be out there connected.
Well, heck,
so
it was the Beatles. How could you say no to that?
Well, you know, I kind of, you know, I don't mean to be a hypocrite, but by taking that gig, because we did all, like one half of the show was Beatles songs and then the other half was, you know, our own songs. But I usually never want to ever cover a Beatles song because I don't think they should be messed with or handled improperly.
And yet I have personally heard you cover, and so has the world, Led Zeppelin tracks and Elton John tracks, et cetera. But I guess the Beatles are sacred, huh?
Yeah, they're more sacred.
Okay. And so how was that experience for you with that lineup? Because it was quite a stellar lineup.
Yeah, it was lots of fun. It was really unusual being the only woman in this whole big cast of men. But they were really respectful. And, you know, if they were up to you know, no good or hijinks or whatever, they never let me see it. And, you know, in rock and roll, that's the true mark of a gentleman, really.
Yeah, yeah, and they all were and are.
Observe the code of the road, you know?
Oh, indeed. Their respect of you was obvious. I remember Todd in that show saying, and now we turn to little Annie Wilson. And, you know, he's just kind of... It was a good time.
Yeah.
Now, your dad was in the Army. I want to go back to a focus squarely on you, Ann. I read the book, the memoir. And I wonder, as you were moving around, obviously that would have an influence on you in and of itself, but what role and influence did music have for you during those early transition years?
Well, I think music played a big role in that our family has always been musical and our parents were musical. We were the first generation, Nancy and I were the first generation to actually go pro. But, it's always been all around us.
Yeah, and I really got a lot out of that book. I loved it. Tell us a little bit about recording and releasing the first album that Hart did, Dreamboat Annie. What was your first taste, the moment when you thought, wow, we could really make it?
I never had that thought at any point during the making of Dreamboat Annie or shortly or afterward about making it as a goal. We just wanted to get in the studio, you know. I mean, we were sort of like young girls, how young girls think of marriage. They don't think any farther than the altar or the dress. They don't think of, like, down the road.
Right.
And that's how we were thinking of our career then. It was just like, wow, we get to go inside a real recording studio. Woo!
Yeah.
And and we that's where we learned the ropes. And where I learned how to sing into a microphone, and we learned about how sound transfers from the soul onto, back then, tape. And there are a lot of things to be learned that you have to know before you are comfortable in the studio. And that's really what that album was about for us.
Well,
it was learning.
I'm guessing even back then, you had to learn pretty early on how to protect that voice, and probably have evolved that process several times since, right?
Yeah. It's easy to sabotage yourself as a singer, real easy. But on the other hand, like jewelry, like pearls, you know, they're meant to be worn. A voice is meant to be heard, so you can't baby it past the point of over the top. You've got to use it and just use horse sense about what you put in your body, especially stuff like smoke and, you know, anything drying. Alcohol is bad, smoking, screaming, all those things are bad. So, yeah.
Yeah, and
that's what we do to preserve.
You bet. And, you know, so back in those early years for a moment, when you and Nancy exploded onto the scene in the 70s, you not only led the band, you know, between you wrote the songs and played the instruments too, making you truly the first women in rock and roll history to do so, I think. What was it like to shake up the industry as powerful women the way that you did? Is there a particular moment or story that you'll always remember from those years in that context?
Well, there are many, and most of them really have a lot to do with being misunderstood at first and trying to surmount the incredible stereotype barrier that was up in the music industry, which at that time was completely patriarchal. And if Nancy and I had a rock band and we were the leaders of it, then we were somehow suspect, you know, in those days.
Yeah.
It was a struggle getting cred, being taken seriously, and because of our gender. See, that's how much things have changed in the late 70s.
And, you know, I had a similar conversation with Linda Ronstadt, same kind of thing. And I myself wanted to be a record producer and you know, was trounced because of gender and wound up being an A&R person instead under Neil Portnow. So, you know, it's evolved a lot for all of us in different ways.
Yes, that's right.
Now, you've done a lot as an individual too, Ann, you know, producing the solo album Hope and Glory and singing songs that were both chart successes and motion picture themes like Almost Paradise, although, you know, that was a duet, from Footloose, Best Man in the World from The Golden Child, and Surrender to Me from Tequila Sunrise, and yet so much of your career includes Nancy. Can you talk about a little bit about the challenges and the joys that come with sharing so much personally and professionally with a sibling like that?
Could you break that down into one question or two? It's a complicated thing you just asked me with lots of parts. So which one should I answer first?
I think the gist of that question was about the fact that yes, you have done some things on your own, but really your career has heavily included Nancy.
Yes.
And I want to get to the point about how you manage the relationship with each other when you're both aligned. That's really my question.
Yeah. Well, you know, she and I have a long and very close relationship. I mean, we came from the same womb, and you know, like I went to the hospital when she was born with my dad to pick her up, you know. And so we've known each other since before infinity. So, you know, the fact that we're still collaborating and we still have a really close relationship is just amazing and has taken a lot of work and a very careful tango of giving and taking space. And sometimes you just have to just like shut your mouth and let the other person, you know, blather on and and just breathe a while and then come back to him later when, you know, just like with any relationship, you just have to work it and be sensitive to the other person. But basically Nancy and I are soulmates, and we always will be, whether we're doing hard or not.
It's such a gift.
Yeah, it is. I've met so many people who say, how do you do that with your sister? I mean, I hate my sister. I could never work with her. And that's just not what our family's like. We've always been very close-knit, and we're not perfect people by any means, but I mean, we have always really valued each other, probably from the Marine Corps days where we were, you know, always in the car together, always moving, you know, and just really trying to, we're just like this piece of cloth that's all woven together, and
yeah.
We need each other and we support each other.
I think it's fantastic. It's probably one of your best gifts in life.
I agree. Thank you.
I wanted you to know I recently caught the show that you did at the Mountain Winery in Saratoga. I've actually seen you there several times.
Oh, yeah.
My home
venue. I love that place.
Most artists do. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, of course, you and the show rocked. But perhaps my favorite tune in the lineup, Anne, was a song I hadn't heard before. And that was this deep cut called Heaven.
Yeah, Heaven, yeah.
It moved me very deeply, and I wondered what was the inspiration for that song.
Well, thank you, by the way, because that's my favorite song of the evening, too. But that song is, well, I'm really deeply interested in traditional Indian music, and I'm actually looking for a teacher to teach me how to sing, you know, quarter tones and things that we don't have in Western scales. And so that song came out of just my desire to sing with a drone, you know, with a just that lovely one note that runs through everything. It's just a calming, it gives you a chance to breathe, and it's a very spiritual song to me.
It is, and very primal in the feeling.
Yeah, I mean, really primal, because the main idea behind it is like, okay, we may be really strong, but that doesn't mean we're going to draw our swords. You know, we keep our swords sheathed, and we're sweet. So come here and let me show you how sweet the strong can be.
Yeah.
You know.
And I want to encourage listeners who have not heard this song, go find it and check it out. It's a deep cut, it's profound. And it's not not chart topping, it's not one of the classics.
No, it's never gonna be. And it's probably better live than on the well, I think you can find it on YouTube, I know you can, but there's it's a bonus track on one of the records. I can't remember which one, but
yeah.
It's better live. So if you get a chance to come see us, that's the way to hear heaven, because it's really good.
Yeah, it sure is. It really.
And I say that with all humility, because you know I don't like to brag on this.
That's why I had to mention it. I loved it so much.
Oh, thank you very much. That's great.
Yeah. So, Anne, let's talk a little bit about the book, your memoir, Kicking and Dreaming, A Story of Heart, Soul, and Rock and Roll. It came out 2 years ago. Was this book a challenge to write, and what did you hope to leave with your readers with about what your extraordinary life and career has meant?
Yeah, it was a challenge to write. It was kind of like being in therapy.
Because,
you know, you go back through everything, and the hard stuff and the great stuff, of course, but the real edgy, hard, painful stuff that happened when you were a little kid and all that. So it was challenging, real challenging.
And the relationships, you know.
Yeah, the relationships and just all of it. And so I think when you look at it, when I looked at it chronologically after it was in book form, what it did for me was I just went, yeah, you know, all these decisions that we made and all this stuff that happened was the right thing. And one thing made the next thing happen. We made the right decisions. You know, some of them were really hard, but it couldn't have gone any other way.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And everything that happened has led us to this moment, you know, which is really great for us. So I'm hoping that the people who read it will take away with them a better understanding of what it's like, of course, for women, you know, to be in a business like this, like the music business, starting, you know, 35 years ago, or in 1976, really.
Yeah.
Just some of the things that women have to go through that are really different from what men have to go through, and how it's possible to survive and withstand all this kind of stuff and actually have it be, even though it's soul-bending, it can be, you can end up standing on your feet and being better, you know.
Well, and more than that, thriving.
Yes.
And, you know, my hat's off for so many twists and turns that you went through. But as I worked at Apple for many years, and Steve Jobs was a personal mentor. And as he would be fond of saying, you can only connect the dots looking backwards. So
yeah.
a life well lived, as you have done, you know, you could never paint a picture ahead of yourself. You can only go look backwards and see, now I see why this all happened and how it makes sense, how it all lines up.
Yeah, and it's always best to not even look ahead, you know.
Living in the probably the best thing any of us can do.
Yeah, the moment is all we have, so
yeah,
we got to just really, really try to be in it.
Yeah. Now, tell us about what it was like. We talked about Led Zeppelin. Tell us about what it was like to perform Stairway to Heaven as the finale to the 2012 Kennedy Center Honors.
Yeah.
In front of the guys.
Oh, that was sublime, let me tell you. I mean, we didn't know it was even going to happen until pretty shortly before it happened. And then when we found out, it was a big secret. Don't tell anybody. You know, it's going to be a secret, a big surprise for them and everything. So when I heard about it, I thought, oh, this is really great, but... You know, of course, you know, it's going to be a tribute with the Foo Fighters and all this other stuff. So we're going to get the Snake song. We're going to get, like, you know, rock and roll or something like that. I had no idea we were going to get the Holy Grail of all the Zeppelin songs, Stairway to Heaven. So when we were asked to sing that, that was a moment beyond compare, you know.
Well, and I understand the guys were in tears watching.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, people think that he was emotional because of our performance, and I'm not so sure that's why. I think it was a number of things. I mean, it was probably his past flashing in front of his face and losing his friend John Bonham, and there's John Bonham's son down there, and
yeah.
You know, here's this big, beautiful production of that song, which no matter what he says, what Mr. Plant says, you know, he loves. Because he told me so afterward. So he was probably just a big ball of emotion for many reasons.
Yeah. Well, what an honor. What an honor to have been involved with that.
Yeah, no kidding. What an audience. The president and first lady, and, you know, it just was one of the finest moments of my life. It really was.
And I got to believe they came up to you as well, and I've got to believe they're big fans, you know.
Well, we got to meet POTUS earlier in the day.
Yeah.
And his incredible wife, and over at the White House at a reception. And it was all, the White House was all dressed up for Christmas, and it was really something. The Marine Corps band playing.
Oh,
in the
my.
Great room, and all the Christmas trees and the lights, and it was one of those days where you don't you do about 3 days of stuff in one day, but you don't mind because it's so incredible.
Yeah, yeah. and you really did so many wonderful things around that time. So I guess that was 2012, but then. Followed, you know, being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and getting your star on the Hollywood
Walk of Fame, yeah,
exactly, Walk of Fame, and that was all. Those had to be highlight moments, right? Each of those.
Yeah. Oh, fame, thou glittering bauble. Yeah, it was definitely a time of lots of rewards and people saying, here you go. Here's your acceptance by us. Very amazing time.
Yes. Yes.
And it just kind of overwhelming, you know, overwhelming in a way.
I can well imagine, but well earned and long overdue. You know, especially the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Well deserved. Say long overdue. I think so many people. And then just last month, you and Nancy did a guest appearance on Letterman with the Foo Fighters, and then at a surprise concert in New York. How was that?
Oh, that was amazing. I mean, I consider the Foo Fighters to be one of the best rock bands we have at the moment in this country. I mean, they're so on and so just raw and current with themselves. I mean, what a rock band should be is kick-ass and committed, and they really are, and they're showmen, you know. I mean,
yeah,
they're funny, and they just come out, and they've just got the whole thing going on right now. So it was really great to go out there, and they learned one of our songs and made it sound like it's never sounded before. The difference between two guitars and four guitars on the song "Kick It Out" is massive.
I watched the Kick It Out video on YouTube afterwards. It really kicked ass. It was, there's no other way to fabulous. and I got to believe you've known Dave, you know, Grohl for many years from the Nirvana days, given the Seattle connection, right?
Yeah. And he has come such a long way. I mean, such a long circuitous route to where he is now. And I don't believe there's going to be any stopping him. He's one creative dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you happen to catch his keynote speech that was taped for South by Southwest in Austin last year?
No, I did not.
Boy, that's worth watching. I think you would really enjoy that if you look that up on YouTube. And I understand you'll also be part of the Foo Fighters event taking place on the 4th of July next year at RFK Stadium.
Yeah, we are. That's going to be a cool thing, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So that's a great alliance. And I want to segue to a holiday concert you did in Seattle last year, which was Heart and Friends Home for the Holidays.
Right.
And you had guests on that, collaborators like Pat Monahan of Train and Sammy Hagar, Richard Marx, Sean Colvin. I might be leaving some out. But that had to be a fabulous experience. And I know that it aired on Access TV last year, and it's going to air through December this year on Access
TV. Yeah, and the one that is airing this year is, first of all, let me say the one that aired last year was, they they just like banged it out because we did it right then and they just put it on. Well, this year there's more to it. The one they're going to show is going to be different than the one they showed last year with more stuff. And it was a lot of fun. And we always like to try to do something special for Seattle because it's my hometown and everything. And we played there quite a few times recently, and each time has been really different. Different music, different size venues, and the Benaroya is really a symphony hall. It's really tuned for a symphony, so to put a rock band in there and just, you know, turn it up is not done that often.
No.
In that place.
Yeah, interesting acoustics to deal with.
Yeah.
And in and of itself, of course, doing a holiday CD, was that the first time you'd done that?
Because,
I mean, it's now a DVD CD set of that show.
Yeah, it's the first one that Hart's ever done.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nancy and I did one with the Lovemongers.
Ah, okay.
Like our side project some years back. But, this is the first.
Yeah, so I encourage folks to pick that up. The DVD CD set of the show was released just this year on November 10th. And again, the show itself, the live concert, airs on Access TV throughout December of this year. So do check that out. And I understand that you're going to perform one of the songs from the album when you appear at the 83rd Annual Hollywood Christmas Parade, or I guess did appear, and that's going to air on Hallmark Channel December 10th.
Well, I'm not so sure because that was last night, and it got rained out.
Oh, it got rained out.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what they're going to do about that. I think there'll be a show, but the concert part of it got rained out, so they're going to have to cobble something together for the musical aspect of it. We were down here. We got as far as sound check, and then the skies opened up.
Oh boy!
And the stage became unsafe, so everyone, you know, one by one, all the bands started pulling out because the roadies were calling in saying, "Don't do it! Don't do it! Don't do it!" You know, because there's too much electricity around on a stage to stand there in the rain and play safely.
That was a wise choice, I think.
Yeah.
But so it may or may not air on the Hallmark Channel on December 10th, but I suspect they'll probably pull a song from the live, you know, from the DVD set.
I think they will.
Yeah. And then on syndicated TV throughout December, so one of those check your local listings things. But we just want to be sure to mention to our listeners to look out for that.
Yeah, it'll be something, and it'll be good. So, but it was just really, really a funny night last night. It could have gone on as planned if they would have put a roof over the stage.
Yeah.
But it's Hollywood, so they didn't. And so they totally shot themselves in the foot, you know?
Ugh. Yeah.
So anyway.
Somebody wasn't thinking about that. But anyway,
yeah.
I expect they'll
it never rains
out.
In California.
Yeah, exactly. And I understand that this week marks the release of Dog and Butterfly, a children's book based on the song featuring drawings by you. Could you tell us a bit about that project?
Yeah. We've always wanted to put out a children's book. And because, you know, we have kids ourselves and we know what that drill is, you know.
Hmm.
The book has to be something that is just as interesting to the parent as it is to the kid, because you spend a lot of time reading and rereading and rereading and rereading it hundreds of times over if it's a hit, you know, with the kids and the parents. So the story had to have enough detail and depth, and we wanted it to teach a lesson or have a little moral, you know, to it.
Yep.
The lesson that's taught in Dog and Butterfly is one of patience and stick-to-itiveness. But you keep after it, but with patience, you know.
Mm.
And so that's the little life lesson that we're trying to include in there. And that's what's in the song.
Yeah, of course. And it is kind of the theme of the story of your whole life.
Yeah.
But I encourage folks to, parents out there who are thinking of a fabulous gift idea for the holidays, that's another good one for the kids. Check that out. And finally, I want to mention your website so that folks can go there to learn about everything else you're working on. There's always so much in motion, I'm sure. It's heart-music.com.
Yes.
And go there, and you will learn everything that's happening with Anne and Nancy from here moving forward. But before we finish our chat, Anne, I do like to ask all my guests one really important question I'd like to ask you as well. And it's legacy. What comes next for you, without projecting too far into the future, is there a project or collaboration you've not yet started that you dream about creating as part of your legacy?
Nancy and I have been talking about that specifically recently, and we are really jacked about getting back in the studio and doing an EP length, very, very aimed 4 or 5 song thing, that where each song is just blow away.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a theme. And we have a couple of songs already started up for it. We're just in the process of trying to get other people excited now, you know.
yeah.
And that'll be next. I mean, and there's a documentary being worked on. There's just some cool stuff, you know, coming up. The wheels are always turning, you know.
Yeah. Well, you're in a wonderful position because you really do have full creative control over whatever you choose to do at this point. And
That is essential.
Todd said that you're everywhere he's been, so you're obviously still touring heavily and probably plan to into 2015.
Yeah, definitely, and beyond probably.
As strong as it's ever been, Anne. I'm really so impressed.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. That's awesome.
So
yeah.
Thank you again for making the time to speak with us today. It's been fabulous having you. I've really enjoyed it. And,
me too.
And I thank you. We wish you the very best with fun and, of course, a fabulous holiday season, too.
A fabulous season is upon us, yes. Thank you very much, and the same to you.
Yeah, and I always want to thank my show producer, Jessica Master, for the wonderful job she does each week. And thanks to our great listeners. We'll hear you all again next week on the next edition of All Access Radio. Good night, everybody.